engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the first book of Maccabees. The officers of the king in charge of enforcing the apostasy came to the city of Modin to organize the sacrifices. Many of Israel joined them. But Mattathias and his sons gathered in a group apart. Then the officers of the king addressed Mattathias. "You are a leader, an honorable and great man in this city, supported by sons and kin. Come now, be the first to obey the king's command, as all the Gentiles and the men of Judah and those who are left in Jerusalem have done. Then you and your sons shall be numbered among the king's friends and shall be enriched with silver and gold and many gifts." But Mattathias answered in a loud voice, "Although all the Gentiles in the king's realm obey him, so that each forsakes the religion of his fathers and consents to the king's orders, yet I and my sons and my kin will keep to the covenant of our fathers. God forbid that we should forsake the law and the commandments. We will not obey the words of the king, nor depart from our religion in the slightest degree." As he finished saying these words, a certain Jew came forward in the sight of all to offer sacrifice on the altar in Modin, according to the king's order. When Mattathias saw him, he was filled with zeal. His heart was moved and his just fury was aroused. He sprang forward and killed him upon the altar. At the same time, he also killed the messenger of the king who was forcing them to sacrifice, and he tore down the altar. Thus he showed his zeal for the law, just as Phinehas did with Zimri, son of Salu. Then Mattathias went through the city, shouting, "Let everyone who is zealous for the law and who stands by the covenant follow after me." Thereupon he fled to the mountains with his sons, leaving behind in the city all their possessions. Many who sought to live according to righteousness and religious custom went out into the desert to settle there. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. To the upright I will show the saving power of God. To the upright I will show the saving power of God. God the Lord has spoken and summoned the earth. From the rising of the sun to its setting, from Zion, perfect in beauty, God shines forth. To the upright I will show the saving power of God. Gather my faithful ones before me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens proclaim his justice, for God himself is the judge. To the upright I will show the saving power of God. Offer to God praise as your sacrifice, and fulfill your vows to the Most High. Then call upon me in time of distress. I will rescue you, and you shall glorify me. To the upright I will show the saving power of God. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. As Jesus drew near Jerusalem, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, "If this day you only knew what makes for peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. For the days are coming upon you when your enemies will raise a palisade against you. They will encircle you and hem you in on all sides. They will smash you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave one stone upon another within you, because you did not recognize the time of your visitation." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Powerful readings today. Jesus says we don't have forever to respond to the kingdom of God. We've got to recognize the time of our visitation. We've got to recognize the kingdom of God among us. We've got to recognize, as Paul will say, that now is the day of salvation. We've got to recognize, as we read in the book of Sirach, that we cannot put off our repentance from day to day because we do not know if we will have tomorrow. Now is the time to repent of sin, to embrace virtue, to deepen our conversion, and to defend and advance the kingdom. Now is the time to speak up, to do what is right, to defend what is right. And what a great example of that we see in today's first reading. As we've been reading from the book of Maccabees, and as I've explained to you, this apostasy was being enforced on the people of the covenant, the people of God, the Jewish people, Israel, by Antiochus Epiphanes. And so many great stories of resistance in these two books of the Maccabees, so pertinent for our times as well. Let's look at a few of the dynamics that come out from this story of Mattathias refusing to offer sacrifices forbidden by the law. First of all, the temptation to be unfaithful is not just there in and of itself. It's not just that there is a decree. There's two other things going on here. There's bad example, and Mattathias doesn't fall for it. Think about this. So many people around him, so many of the people who share the same faith are giving in to the persecution, are abandoning the covenant, are sinning, publicly sinning. Bad example is being given on all sides. He's in the minority. Scandal. When somebody else gives bad example, we're supposed to build one another up with good example. We're supposed to spur one another on to virtue and to fidelity. Here, Mattathias was in an environment where just the opposite was happening. Now, there was a time in the church when most of the leaders were saying that Jesus Christ was not divine, the Arian heresy, and yet some remained faithful. There was a time under Saint Paul VI, Pope Paul, when the majority of the commission that was appointed to look into the question of modern birth control said to him that the church should accommodate that. He went against the majority report. We will see opinion polls at various times in the history of the church or in our life when it looks like a majority of the self-professed Catholics are not believing certain doctrines, not practicing the faith, not going to church. Being faithful often means being part of a remnant. We've got to get that into our minds. Just the fact that most around us who profess the same faith that we do may not be practicing it doesn't mean that it's arrogant of us to think that we need to be different. It's not arrogance, it's faithfulness. Mattathias was not arrogant. He was just being faithful. He knew the covenant. And that's the second lesson that comes through here. Not only Well, let me say one more thing about bowing to bad example. We look around us in the midst of the abortion tragedy, and we can think sometimes that we're the crazy ones because we're waking up every day with this restlessness in our heart saying, hey, the killing has got to stop. This has got to stop now. And the question is not, is abortion really as bad as I think it is? Because we know it is. The question is, why on earth are all the people around me not responding in the same way that I feel I need to respond? Why are we not shouting it from the rooftops? Why are we not hearing it every day in church? Why are people not flocking to come out to the abortion facilities to save those lives, just as they would come out in crowds to save a child who fell into a well? Wouldn't they come and help? The whole community would gather. Well, where are they in front of the abortion facilities? We're not the crazy ones just because we're in a small remnant. A small handful are acting sanely. A small handful are actually implementing the demands of common sense. And there was a, and it's not just in regard to abortion, of course, it's in regard to the ideologies being imposed on our children, the freedoms being taken away by various government authorities, et cetera, et cetera. There was a study done one time about the so-called Genovese syndrome. You remember the story of Kitty Genovese, who back earlier in the 20th century in New York City came back to her home in the middle of the night and was attacked. 38 witnesses, nobody did anything. And this created a big stir, and psychologists started talking about the Genovese syndrome. Why, when people are seeing someone being victimized, do they not intervene? So one of the psychological experiments was that they had people sitting in a room. They didn't realize the experiment had already begun. They thought they were there just signing up and, you know, getting ready to start. Meanwhile, the experiment had started because you had, well, it started with one person sitting in the room waiting for the folks to come and get the test started, and he saw smoke coming out from under the door of the adjoining room. Well, he got up and he said something. He got to help. He told people that there's a fire in the building. Then, another part of the experiment, there were three people sitting in that same room, and smoke started coming out from the door ajar in the room adjacent. And they started fanning themselves, coughing, and looking at each other, and not doing anything. Interesting dynamic, right? The first person looked at the evidence that there was a problem and responded to it. The three people in the room looked at each other and saw the lack of, each one saw the lack of response of the other two and figured, well, maybe I'm the crazy one. Maybe I'm overreacting. You're not overreacting. Mattathias was not overreacting. When, as this reading explains, he got up, he resisted the order of the king out loud, and in fact he charged and destroyed the altar and then went off and got a band of people together. Now let's go through some of the other dynamics here. So he didn't bow to the peer pressure, no matter how small of a remnant he belonged to. And the peer pressure was not just coming from his peers, it was coming from the authorities. And this is another thing we have to realize. It wasn't just that an edict was given. Look how he was being approached and appealed to. We will be appealed to by some people to be unfaithful or to be less than zealous. Come now. You're going to be the king's friends. And this is what happens to so many of the faithful and to the clergy. We are approached by people in high positions and said, you can be our friends. First of all, we're going to give you big grants. We're going to give you government grants. We're going to give you lots of money for your social programs. Just don't make so much about the faith or about the abortion issue or these moral things. Come now, you can be the king's friend. You're going to have access to the cocktail parties. You're going to have a seat at the table. You're going to be held in high esteem. So many religious leaders are led astray by this. They're given positions of influence, a place at the table, access to powerful people and numerous resources. Don't fall for it, for goodness sake. We have access to the King of Kings. We're his sons and daughters. Now, Mattathias didn't go along with this at all. You can keep your friends, you can keep your money, you can keep your power and influence and access. I will be faithful to the Lord. And then he answered and he said this, though everyone forsake the religion of my fathers, I know what that religion is. And this is yet another lesson that comes out here. We don't doubt what is right. It doesn't change. The covenant is the covenant. Moral law is the moral law. It's always wrong to kill a baby. It's always wrong to redefine marriage and family. It's always wrong to deny Christ. It's always wrong to do the things that our faith tells us definitively are wrong. Now, here's the point. Very often, infidelity is preceded by abstract confusion of the ideas that pertain to our faith. Intellectualization goes along with rationalization. We make an excuse for doing what's wrong by listening to some nuanced, it sounds like it's super enlightened, super advanced theological, spiritual reasoning that contradicts common sense. We see this going on with the communion debate. Should we give communion to people who are promoting a Holocaust? No. And yet, oh, well, you know, and then we got these influential spiritual leaders giving all kinds of abstruse, technical, canonical, theological, spiritual, pastoral, ifs, ands, and buts. Enough with the ifs, ands, and buts that contradict common sense and basic truth. So Mattathias wasn't persuaded by all this. Though all forsake the religion of our fathers, I know what it is. There's a mental certainty here. A mental and intellectual certainty of faith that holds on to what is right. And then notice, Mattathias doesn't quietly resist. He loudly resists. This is another key lesson here. Mattathias answered the officers who were telling him to abandon his faith. What does the reading say? Mattathias answered them in a loud voice. Now that conveys two things. That conveys the force of his conviction. The force of his conviction, by the way, being insulted, as we all should be insulted when we are asked to compromise our faith and morals. We should be insulted. And this is part of where the righteous anger comes out, because it says that he was righteously angry. Anger is not a sin. Anger is a passion. Whether it becomes sinful or not is how we use it and how it uses us. But Mattathias answers in a loud voice, also to give the good example, to give the encouragement to those around him, because we don't only have to do what's right. We have to show unapologetically that we're doing what's right, so that we can have strength, we can give strength to others to do what's right. And who among those others is Mattathias giving that example to? First and foremost, here's yet another lesson, his own children, his own family. He says, not just I will not obey the king's orders, he says in a loud voice, I and my sons and my kin. So many parents who are fighting against evil in our day. Look at the parents rising up at school board meetings to object to tyranny. I saw in one of the videos, and you may have seen it too, how a young child, a daughter of a dad who was there at the school board meeting herself, was there at the microphone speaking up. I see all the time in my pro-life work parents bringing their children to protest abortion out in front of the killing centers. What a beautiful way. Parents bringing their children on Life Chain where they're holding up the signs in public saying abortion kills children. What a beautiful way to be strengthening them in God's kingdom, strengthening them in the faith. Mattathias does the same thing. It's my family. My family and I will resist and will not depart from our religion in the slightest degree. Then Mattathias objects to this Jew who comes forward and offers the sacrifice, offending God and breaking the covenant. He attacks him. Now, Jesus, of course, has told us, put your sword away. Don't cut off the, you know, remember in the garden there, Peter and the sword and cutting off the high priest's ear and so forth, the high priest's servant's ear. Jesus says, put the sword back in the scabbard. So we're not being called here to respond with physical violence, but Mattathias here, in the Old Testament, is showing us just fury. It says his just fury was aroused. So another dimension here is that we are to be not only offended if we are asked to violate the covenant, we are to be offended by others violating the covenant because it offends the very God that we love. So he shows his zeal for the law. He tears down the altar. It reminds me in the early church of some Christians who, after, I think it was St. Basil, who after evening prayer one night, he and his companions went out and tore down an altar of child sacrifice. Tore down an altar. I remember in my first parish, the associate priest and I one day received from a young man who had repented of witchcraft and the like. He brought all the devices he used to use for the witchcraft, and we literally put him out on a table and smashed them with hammers. The zeal for the law. And finally, final lesson here, Mattathias, in resisting this decree to be unfaithful, gets others to follow him. He goes throughout the city, and again, notice the word that's used here, shouting. Resistance to evil is not meant to always be quiet. He goes through the city shouting, let everyone who's zealous for the law, who stands by the covenant, follow after me. Now, there's a couple of other lessons here. If the Lord puts you in a situation where your fidelity to him requires that you lead a movement, if he puts you in a situation that requires that you be the leader, even though you're not looking to be out front and you're not looking to be in the spotlight, that may be your duty in that instance. He wasn't looking to start a movement. He was just looking to be faithful. I think of the family of Terry Schiavo, family I helped when Terry was being murdered. This was back in 2005. They weren't looking for the spotlight. They weren't looking to be out in the media. They weren't looking to start a movement, and yet they did. And Terry's Life and Hope Network is now leading and helping other families and crying out, all those who want to be faithful, come and follow us. And they are helping other families whose loved ones are being, by the power of the state, denied basic life-saving care. Well, sometimes that's what happens. God puts us in a situation, and it's not that we're seeking fame. It's that we're just seeking fidelity. But that may put us in a situation where we have to say, okay, all those who also want to be faithful, follow me. Mattathias is not saying, follow me instead of God. Mattathias is not saying, make me a celebrity. Mattathias is saying, we have to be faithful. We're all under the same law. Come, follow me. We have to put up a united resistance. And that's how things are today as well. And notice one other lesson. In doing this, he knew he had to sacrifice. They had to leave the city because that's where all the pressure was on them and their kin. So as a result of being faithful and starting this movement of people who wanted to be faithful, they had to leave all their possessions behind. You want to be faithful? You want to be part of a faithful remnant? You want to resist and not give way to the bad example or to the false confusion? It's false confusion. There's no confusion about what the faith requires. It's false confusion that those who want to justify infidelity will impose on the rest of us. Well, they had to leave behind in the city all, not some, all their possessions. Sometimes that is what it requires. Giving up our freedom, giving up our positions, our popularity, and our possessions. Wow, what a wonderful example. Lord, give us the grace to follow Mattathias. Give us the grace to resist tyranny, to resist the culture of death, to resist infidelity, to resist false confusion. Lord, very simply we pray three simple words today. Make us faithful. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.